Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, October 24th. This is the women's Mishnah Gemara share. We're in the middle of the sugya of Mitzvah Habo Baveira. Okay, Rabotai. 2 weeks ago, we began a sugya in Masechus Sukkah, beginning of the third parak, known as Mitzvah Habo Baveira. The Mishnah had said that a lulav which is stolen is disqualified all Yom Tov. A lulav that is dried out is disqualified all 7 days of Yom Tov. The Gemara said, a dried out one, I understand. After all, the Torah says, Ulekachtem lachem pri eitz hadar. You have to take a nice looking esrog. And if it's yavesh, dried out, it's lacking beauty. And that is applicable all week. However, a stolen lulav, the assumption is that it's disqualified because it's not yours. And if it's not yours, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of lulav because the Torah says, ulekachtem lochem. It has to be absolutely yours. However, the rest of the days of Yom Tov, there is no requirement that the lulav be lachem, be yours. You can borrow one, and initially the Gemara thinks you can steal one as well. You might violate the prohibition, but it's still yours after you steal it. So the Gemara answered, you know why you can't use it the rest of Yom Tov? Because it's a mitzvah haba'a ba'aveira. A mitzvah that is facilitated via the transgression of an aveira. Since you violated lo tigzol, that's why you have this etrog. Hence, it is disqualified. We looked at a Tosafot, and Tosafot established a principle that the only time that we apply this disqualifying halacha is if the mitzvah is fulfilled as a result of the fact that I did the aveira. So by theft, it's very clear. If I don't steal, I don't have the etrog. So the aveira facilitated the mitzvah. Then it is disqualified. But if there is an extraneous aveira that I am violating with this etrog, for example, it was a lulav that came from a tree that was worshipped. Somebody worshipped this tree and declared it a god. So you're not permitted to have any benefit from it. But the mere fact that somebody transgressed it, even me, even if I was the one who made it into an Asherah tree, that doesn't facilitate the taking of the lulav. It's an extraneous isur. It's not that one causes the other. So there, Tosafot said, mitzvah haba baveira is not a consideration, and I have to have another reason why I cannot use a lulav that was taken from a tree that was worshipped l'avodah zarah. A separate, different halacha. Then Tosafot posited another rule that qualified this last rule that I just said. Even if the aveira does not facilitate the performance of the mitzvah. The example which Tosfot gave was using an etrog that was made out of tevel, an etrog shel tevel, or in the case of Tosfot, matzah shel tevel. Now, I have a piece of matzah, but I did not take trumot in ma'asrot from the grain which I harvested to make my matzah. So there, the fact that I didn't give trumot in ma'asrot does not enable me to fulfill the mitzvah. It's a separate isur. It's not like theft. Like if you steal matzah, if you don't steal it, you don't have it. So one facilitates the other. But how there Tosafot said it would be a disqualifying halacha, because they happen at the exact same time. When do you violate the Isur Tevel? When you eat it. When do you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? When you eat it. So any time one action violates a prohibition and attempts to fulfill a mitzvah, if it's simultaneous, the prohibition of mitzvah haba b'aveira applies, and one need not be concerned that the aveira does not facilitate the performance of the mitzvah. If it happens at the same time, that's another rule which Tosafot had established. We are going to go tonight and see a variety of other opinions concerning mitzvah b'haba b'aveira. So we will start with page number 1. And this is a Tosafot in Masechet Sukkah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, page 9a.
Are you saying that it's okay that someone stole the matzah and ate it as long as it's at the same time?
No, I'm not saying it's okay to steal. Stealing the matzah is definitely no good. You will not fulfill the mitzvah of matzah.
But then they don't get credit for the matzah.
You don't get credit for the mitzvah if you steal.
So
here the question was, you used matzah from which you did not give trumot and ma'asrot on the grain. It was tevel. So how do you violate the isur of eating grain from which you have not given the tithes? You eat it. When you eat it, you violate the law. And when you eat it, you are attempting to be mekayim the mitzvah. So since the aveira and the mitzvah are facilitated at the exact same second, that disqualifies your performance of the mitzvah. Because of mitzvah haba b'aveira.
So
you don't get credit for the mitzvah. Okay. This Gemara in Sukkah is dealing with the following thing. There is an opinion, his name is Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you are not permitted to use anyone else's sukkah on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Rabbi Eliezer says, don't invite any company, don't go to your kids, you stay home alone. Home alone. That's where they got that movie from Rabbi Eliezer's opinion on sukkahs. Because the only way you can fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah is if it's 100% yours to the exclusion of anyone else. Why? He, Rabbi Eliezer, interprets the following word, Chag HaSukkot Ta'aseh Licha. Just as the Gemara darshens the word Lachem, or Lekachtam Lachem in relationship to the Lulav, that it has to be yours, and no one disputes that, by an etra, by a sukkah, no one agrees with him. But Rabbi Eliezer says, it says licha, and therefore sukkah must have absolute ownership. Absolute ownership.
That's the whole week.
Exactly. And also Rabbi Eliezer says, you are mandated to eat 14 meals in the sukkah. You have to eat 2 meals a day in the sukkah. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. We don't paskin like that either. You don't have to eat. The only time you have to eat in the sukkah is the first night. The rest of the time, just don't eat grain. You don't have to go into the sukkah. Don't eat bread. Don't eat cake. You can eat fruits and vegetables out of the sukkah. You can eat meat and fish out of the sukkah. And it's nice to go in. There's no doubt. But you do not violate anything unless you eat grain. But Rabbi Eliezer says you have to eat all 14 meals. And it's got to be your own. So Rabbi Eliezer, asked the Chachamim, what are you going to say about the interpretation of the phrase, Chag HaSukkot Ta'aseh Lecha? So the rabbis responded to him, Lehotzi et hagzula. You don't have to have ownership of your sukkah. You can be invited out for a meal during Sukkot. So why did the Torah write the word lecha, which means it has to be yours? Answer the Chachamim, to exclude a stolen sukkah. That you can borrow a sukkah, you can be invited as a guest, that's fine. But if you steal a sukkah, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah. And we will talk about how you go about stealing a sukkah. There's going to be an interesting gemara about that as well. So Tosafot asks a question which you should ask. You should ask, how did I just say, do the Chachamim learn that you cannot fulfill your mitzvah with a stolen sukkah? How did they learn it? Based on what? The word lecha. Chag HaSukkot aseh lecha. Ask Tosafot, who needs the drasha of lecha? Give me another reason why a stolen sukkah should be no good. Because it's a mitzvah bal baveira. So who needs ta'aseh lecha? That's Tosafot's question. Let's read it. It's on the bottom of the page, on Daf Tet Amud Aleph. Hahu mi bayalei lemute gzula. Teimo eses bamir avunder. I am perplexed, asks Tosfot. Typically, mishum dehevele mitzvah haba baveira. Let us derive this halacha that one does not fulfill a mitzvah with a stolen sukkah based on the fact that it's a mitzvah haba baveira. Dimehai ta'ama paslinan etrog hagazul v'yomtov sheni. For this reason, we use the pasuk of the halacha of mitzvah ba'aveira to disqualify a stolen etrog or a stolen lulav even on the second day of Yom Tov when you do not need ownership of the lulav and etrog. Where does this take place? Likaman bereish lulav hagazel. Later on in the third perek of Masechet Sukkah. Ubahi shmata gufokasha. And in that sugya, the question emerges. The Ka'amar, the Gemara says, Bishloma biyomtov rishon. I understand why a stolen lulav is disqualified on the first day. Mishum de be'inon lachem. It has to be yours. Because the Torah writes, Ulekachten lachem vayom arishon. Mishel lachem. Elo biyomtov sheni. But from after the first day of Yom Tov onward, the rest of the 6 days of Yom Tov, Amai, why is a stolen lulav disqualified? Umishani, and what did the Gemara answer? We read it last time. Shum behevelei mitzvah haba baveira. Because it is a mitzvah haba baveira. So Tosfos is asking, why don't I say the same thing by a stolen sukkah? So Tosfos goes off on a little tangent, as he frequently does. I don't want to get lost. So go to the next bracketed line, where it says, V'yesh lomar. I'm going to read it. You are going to translate it. V'yesh lomar. D'ta'ama d'mitzvah haba ba'aveira lav d'oraita ela midrabanan. What is Tosfos answering? How does he answer the question that he just raised? Correct. On a d'oraita level, the halacha of mitzvah haba baveira claims Tosfot doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. So mid'oraita, I can steal a lulav and be mekayim the mitzvah on the second day of Yom Tov. Because there's no reason why I can't use a stolen one. Just like I can't use, I want no reason why I can't, just like I can use a borrowed one. Because there's no necessity of absolute ownership. So who created this halacha mitzvah ba'aveira? Only the rabbis. So, however, the Gemara is looking to disqualify a stolen sukkah mid'oraisa. So what was the only avenue available to eliminate a stolen sukkah on a d'oraisa level? The drash from the pasuk, Chag HaSukkot ta'aseh licha. Licha. So therefore, Tosfot in Sukkah is of the opinion that the entire discussion of mitzvah haba baveira, which is a sugya that is, it's hard to find a masechta that there is no discussion someplace or another about mitzvah ba'aveira. The whole hulabaloo is only midrabbana. That's what Tosfos answers. in which you take the wind out of the whole disqualification. Okay, I'm not saying we should listen to the Rabbanan, but on the Oraisa level, I fulfilled the mitzvah. I fulfilled the mitzvah. Now, this is only this Tosfot. The Tosfot that we learned last time didn't say that when it asked the question about the lulav shel Ashera and all and the matzah shel Tevel. They didn't say that. And that shouldn't be a shock, because there are dozens of authors of Tosfot. Here, we don't know who this Tosfot was authored by. Could have been Rashi's son-in-law, the Riva. Could have been his grandson, Rabbeinu Tam. Could have been Rabbeinu Yitzchak. There are hundreds of Ba'alei HaTosafot. So if you find conflicting Tosafot, you don't have to lose any sleep over it. Don't have to lose any sleep over it. That's what Tosfos answers over here. No place else do we find this stated by any of the Rishonim. Only by this Tosfot. So add it to your list of qualifications of mitzvah haba b'aveira. Go to page 2 now, in which Tosafot, the Ran, and many others comment on the possibility of stealing a sukkah. So can you use your own brains and describe for your 10-year-old kid, Mom, how do you steal a sukkah? Give me the case of a stolen sukkah. A stolen lulav, I know what it is. You're carrying your lulav, and I snatch it away from you. How do you steal a sukkah?
Either you disassemble it, take the pieces, and bring it to your place.
Okay, that's one.
Or you without the owner's permission, and maybe even the owner had a big sign saying, private property, keep out, you went in anyway.
Good. Those are two cases. Or I pushed you out of your sukkah. I went into your sukkah and said, Get lost. I don't need you here. I tell that to the owner. So in that case, in both of those cases, we're going to read right now, there is no disqualification of mitzvah haba b'aveira. In both of the suggestions that you made, mitzvah haba b'aveira will not apply. We're going to see why in a second. So now take this as a run.
You're saying that they'll get credit for the mitzvah.
They will get credit for the mitzvah in either of those cases. That is correct.
Either
the case that you pushed somebody out of the sukkah, or you dismantled the sukkah and carried the wood back to your house and rebuilt the sukkah on your own property. In both cases, you will get credit for the mitzvah.
Taking the schach off of something.
Taking the schach and bring it, same thing. We will see why in a second. So take a look at the bracketed line on page 2. On page 2, toward the bottom, the Ran, whose commentary is on the Rif. Vehach sukkah gzula. And this case of sukkah zula, they call paslinan hacha, which the Gemara disqualifies, lav b'shehotzi chaveiro misukato. So it is definitely not Naomi's case, where I go, you put up your big sign, private property, I come in, and either I use it, or you're there, and I said, get lost in your own sukkah, and I sit in your sukkah. That's not the case of sukkah gzula. Why? De kevon de kaimelon, karka eina nigzeles, hevyela sukkah sheula. Hevyela sukkah sheula.
But the karka, you're not taking the karka.
So what am I taking when I ask you to leave your sukkah? What have I taken? I have occupied your land. Your house. I have occupied your house. However, halachically, property can never be stolen. You can't steal property. That's the Gemara's statement, karka eina nigzelet. Why can't I steal property? Why? Because you can't move it. Gzela requires an action. So if you have your lulav and I take the lulav out of your hand, that's an isur of gzela, that's a maisa gzela. That's an action defined as gezel. Therefore, the problem of lulav hagazel can apply to it. However, if I simply come to your house and occupy your space, where the sukkah happens to be built, so I'm stealing your space, under those circumstances, I will not, the item will not be identified as a stolen item. Listen to what I'm going to say. I will violate the law of lo tigzol, pushing you out of your property. But the item can't be considered halachically stolen. I'll give you a second explanation. Not only that you need an action in order to violate lo tigzol. There's another reason. What happens when somebody steals something is that there is a certain thought process of your ownership vis-a-vis the thief. If I just go into, if I come here and I take your pen and I go my car someplace, what do you think your chances are of getting my pen?
You have yeyush.
That's, there is yeyush, exactly. The owner usually will give up hope of ever retrieving this pen. Because if you're going to call the police office, you're going to waste police hours on looking for a lousy pen. You know? So you give up. You know you're not getting it back. However, by property, that thought of yeyush never enters your mind. Why doesn't the thought of yeyush enter your mind? Because it's right there. And here when I call the cops will come in and take me out, take you out of my sukkah. So it's retrievable. Since the possibility of retrieval is always there on a piece of property, the halacha says the property has never really been stolen. Because one of the features of the laws of Gzela, according to Jewish law, is that if the property has been taken away from you and you have Yeush, that makes the property mine. If you had a lulav, if there was no such thing as mitzvah bav avera, on the first day of Yontif, and I stole your lulav, and then you're going to give up hope. Why? Because how are you going to identify that it's your lulav? Every lulav looks pretty much the same. So once you are miyaesh, what happens to that lulav? I thief, own this lulav. And if not for the halach of mitzvah ba'avera, I would have fulfilled the mitzvah with a stolen lulav. Because it's no longer stolen. It's mine. I stole the past. But it's not, but it's mine. Karka can never be transferred, unless you sell it, can never be transferred by theft. So Tosfot says, the case of karka gzula, of sukkah gzula, in Naomi's first case, where there's a sign of their private property, and I just walk in and sit there, or I kick you out as the owner. I kick you out. We can't talk about mitzvah bav avera, because that sukkah is not stolen, not stolen, because the item can't be stolen. That's case number one, which the Ran happens to say, and therefore continues the Ran. Kedeisa bereish perak lulav hagazel, v'leit ba mishum mitzvah haba b'aveira. This is the real chidush. Since the chefza, the item, can't be stolen, what law can't apply to this piece of property?
Mitzvah
haba b'aveira can't apply. So the rule which the Ran is establishing, he's establishing a rule that if you want to apply the principle of mitzvah haba b'aveira to deny someone the fulfillment of a mitzvah, the first thing that you have to identify is whether or not the item with which he is going to perform the mitzvah has been stolen or not. So when you deal with a lulav, yes, I can create a stolen item. When you deal with a sukkah, that particular case, you can't create a stolen sukkah. So if there is no such thing as a stolen sukkah, what else does the Ran add? There's no such thing as mitzvah bar avera. That's a big chiddush.
But maybe the avera would be something other than stealing. If you walked in there with a gun and made the owner leave his sukkah...
So all I did is steal his ground. That's all.
It's not stealing.
Sure it is. It is stealing. But the item will not have been stolen.
Right.
Upstairs in my record book, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to write? Adler violated Lo Tigzol.
But it's still an avera.
But it's not mitzvah haba bavera. The only way that mitzvah haba bavera works or is to be applied is if the item with which you want to perform the mitzvah can be identified as a stolen item.
Stolen. It can't be any other avera.
It can be, but we're talking about theft.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about. And again, you have to think about his rule from last week. It's only when a mitzvah is facilitated by an avera. That's why we always talk about theft.
Okay.
What other?
Right. But in this case, it seems like it is facilitated by an avera.
It is, but it's not an. That's the oddity of it. It is facilitated by the avera of theft. But since it is, I can't think of anything else other than theft. When you come, you put up the sign private property, and I threw you out. What are we calling it? Why won't I get mafta yoina that year?
You just used another phrase.
A what?
You just used another phrase for it.
Yeah, it's like a sheula. It's like borrowed. From a halachic standpoint, it's like borrowed. Why isn't it a stolen item from a halachic vantage point? Because you can't steal it.
Right, I understand it's not stolen, but it's still... You're saying there's no avera was violated?
I said that five times. In my record book upstairs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will write, Lo Tigzol violated on this day of the month at 3:06 in the afternoon. So next Yom Kippur, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks me, what were you doing at 3:06? I'm going to say, I don't remember, a bunch of them. He's going to be Warner Wolf. Let's go to the videotape. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays the videotape at 3:06, and he sees me kicking you out of your own sukkah. And he goes like that. Think you get away with it? Fine.
But wait a minute.
Yes?
Along the same lines, let's say the sukkah had four walls.
Right.
And as the crime might be destroying one of the walls.
Okay, that's a different issue.
That's if sukkah,
yes, because it only needs three walls.
Right. So
if I destroy the wall, she'll take me to court to pay for the damages. It's got nothing to do with the mitzvah, not at all. Nothing to do with the mitzvah. Yes.
Is the assumption that the sukkah and the land are the same? Like if you have a sukkah, it's assumed that the land is your land.
That is correct.
And always. And you can't have your sukkah be on somebody else's land.
You can if you are granted permission. Then it's your land. That space that is occupied by your sukkah is yours for the Yom Tov of sukkah's purposes. But if you don't grant me permission, it's not mine, but it's not stolen either. I can't steal it.
I'm saying, isn't there a difference between the building and land?
But I didn't. In this case, I didn't touch the building. I can't be called stealing a sukkah if I didn't touch a piece of wood, a piece of a door. I didn't do anything. I didn't touch the canvas. All I did is occupy this land, sit on this territory.
No idea of trespass.
No, there is an idea of trespass, but it can't be subject to mitzvah b'avera. That's all the Rana said. So let's, one second. So now let's operate with the next case. What case would work because this concern is not a concern? Give me a case of a stolen sukkah you already identified. What did I do? I took it apart. I took each piece of schach, each one of the walls, and I carried them to my property. That's an action. I took something, a piece of wood, several pieces of wood, a piece of canvas, and I carried it to my property. Why shouldn't I call that mitzvah haba b'aveira? Because that is stolen. Right. It's stolen. It wasn't your property, and now it's in my property.
So then,
it is mitzvah. So Tosis is going to, the Ran's going to say, the Gemara says it's not going to be mitzvah haba b'aveira for a different reason. The reason is, here's what has to happen. After I reassemble the sukkah, then I now have pangs of guilt. I stole your sukkah. So what do I have to do technically in order to gain HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kapara? What do I have to do after I still steal something? I have to return it. You don't pay anything. V'heshiv et hagzeila. You bring it back. Just return it. That's all you have to do. However, once I look at the number of hours that I invested in putting up this sukkah, I want to do tshuva, but it's just too much of a pain in the neck for me to disassemble it and carry it back to your backyard. So the rabbi said, we want to facilitate your doing tshuva. How are they going to help me out? They're going to say, I don't have to give the item back. I can pay you for it. I just take money, I take $100 out of my wallet, and I give it to you for the cost, which is the cost of the wood and the canvas. And now what happens to the item? It's mine. So how can I be violating a law of mitzvah haba b'aveira with an item that is absolutely mine? Mitzvah haba b'aveira, says the Ran, based on the Gemara, requires that the item with which you are attempting to fulfill a mitzvah is not mine. It is a stolen item. So in the case where I pushed Naomi out of her sukkah, it's not a stolen item because property can't be stolen. In the second case where I just took all of the wood and the schach and moved it to my property, in theory it could be a stolen sukkah, but the rabbis have an override. Why do they have an override? Because they want me to do tshuva. And if it's going to be too difficult for me to do tshuva, therefore they then say, you don't have to give back the item that you stole, just give its financial worth. In which case, I don't really have a case, according to this Gemara, of where you can have a sukkah gzula.
But if you don't give it back and you don't pay for it, then...
Okay, that's correct. If I don't give it back and I don't pay for it, but we, you know, the rabbi said, this is your option. That's a good case. And I want to take advantage of that. Besdin will force me to do it. If you take me to court, Besdin's going to say, you can't keep it anymore. It belongs to you. So take out the $100 and pay. They will force me to pay against my will, like any other act of theft. What? Yes, okay. But let's assume it's the first day of Chol HaMoed. Okay, so you can have a court. I can take out the $100 from my pocket and pay you for it. Yes.
Is this a lulav,
I can steal it. What's the problem? And what can I do in order to rectify my violation? I have to give you back the lulav.
So with the lulav, you can't give them back cash.
Nope. That's correct. I can't.
This, you give back cash.
You always have to give, as the Torah writes in chapter 5 of Sefer Vayikra, V'heshiv et hagzela asher gozal. That's what the Torah says. You give back the item which you stole. If it's not here, I sold it, I destroyed it, then I pay you the cash. But in theory, the only way for me to do tshuva in this case is to return the item itself. It's the only way. So, effectively, the Ran here says, there's not going to be any case of mitzvah bal b'aveira that we can think of in relationship to the mitzvah of sukkah. One on a d'oraisa level, because you can't steal any ground. And in the other case, mid'oraisa, it is sukkah gzula. But who said it's not sukkah gzula? The rabbis. Because the rabbis now said, we want to make tshuva an easy possibility, an incentive to do tshuva, so we're not going to make you go through back-breaking labor of dismantling the sukkah, carrying it back to your property, and putting it up once again. They're not going to make me do it. Once they won't make me do it, the item now belongs to me. And you cannot disqualify something for mitzvah haba b'aveira with an item that belongs to me. You can't. It's got to be a stolen item.
But there's a gap of time until such, you know, until it's really decided. I mean, it could be the first day of Yontif. You have your stolen sukkah.
No, I don't. I am obligated, even on the first day of Yontif, to give you the money. Okay, I can't, because it's, again, another rabbinic concern. Money, mid-o-raisa, is not a problem on Shabbos and Yontif. It's only the Rabbanan who say it. Yes?
Would it make a difference if the sukkah that was stolen was old and battered, but having stolen it, the person who formerly owned it would have to replace it with a new one because they're now going to find an old battered one that someone is selling at a low price. So they are going to incur a much greater cost than the value of the sukkah.
That's a good question. That's a good question. So if in that particular case, the obligation or the accommodation that they made to encourage you to do tshuva is based on cost of replacement, not cost of the item. If, like you just said, I can't get such a sukkah any longer, and under those circumstances, that's going to discourage me from fulfilling the mitzvah, they'll say, let's just give her the cost of replacement. So it's a good question. So that's another interesting point to this particular halacha. That again, mitzvah haba b'aveira can only be applied if you have a stolen item. Not that you violated the law of lo tigzol, that you have a stolen item. And karka eina nigzelet. Don't forget that ever. Ever. Go to page number 3, which is the Ritva. He is going to answer the question that we started off with tonight from Tosfot in a different manner and will provide a far limiting definition of the prusul of mitzvah b'aveira. Very, very limiting according to the Ritva. So it's bracketed in front of you. It's the Ritva on Maseches Sukkah. Ha da amrinan. Hahu mi bayale lemute sukkah gzula, that which the Gemara said on Daf Tet, that we need the pasuk of Chag HaSukkot Taaseh Lecha to eliminate a sukkah gzula. Timiya milsa, I have the same puzzle that Tosfot had when we read in Tosfot. Halomali kra. Vostaf min hobin apashuk. Why do you need a pasuk of Chag HaSukkot Taaseh Lecha? Typically, the Hevelei Mitzvah b'Aveira. Kedarminan b'Korban u'Belulav. Why don't you just disqualify a stolen sukkah based on the fact that it's Mitzvah b'Aveira? So what a Tosfot answer to that question? It's only midirabbanan. The Ritva doesn't answer that. Answers the Ritva. Tirtzu b'tosfot, he found another Tosfos, Deleka lemeima mitzvah haba b'aveira, Ela bidavar haba liratzot, Kikorban velulav, Avalo b'shar mitzvot. The Ritva says, which pasuk taught us the halacha of mitzvah haba b'aveira, which we learned 2 weeks ago? Which pasuk? What topic? What? No, that's the din. But where do I learn that there is such a thing as a mitzvah haba b'aveira? From what? No, it was not. It was Malachi. What did Malachi say? Don't bring what unto as a korban? Don't bring a piseach, remember, a hankerdicker, something that's living, and a moon, what? And a chola. Don't, and a stolen one. Don't bring a stolen one. Don't bring a one with a physical defect. Don't bring a sick animal. And the Gemara compared one with a physical blemish, if it has a mum, right? If it has a physical blemish, it's disqualified on the Mizbeah, and a stolen one. So Taut Ritva says, a korban might be different than any other mitzvah. Because what is the purpose of a korban? What is the purpose of a korban?
To bring you closer to Hashem.
Exactly. It could either be to seeking atonement, or it's just a theoretical, philosophical, I want to express my closeness to the Rabbeinu Sholem. So there the Gemara says very well, if you're coming with a stolen animal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Timinish Kentovis, don't do me any favors that you're bringing a korban to establish a relationship. You don't even listen to my laws. What are you hacking me a cup? That idea is called liratzot. We say it in davening every single day. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu be'amcha Yisrael uvitfilatam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, not listen to my tefillot. Listen to my tefillot is the previous bracha. Baruch atah Hashem shomea tefillah. What am I asking for in the bracha of Ritzei? That God should treat my prayer like it's a korban. Like you wrote in the Torah about a korban. That it makes it... what expression does the Torah use for a korban that's done perfectly? Reyach nichoach l'Hashem. It has a pleasant smell in God's nose. He loves the way it smells. So the Ritva says, the only time that mitzvah haba b'aveira applies is if the Aveira is similar to what? To the psul of Korban. And Korban has this feature that its purpose is to seek the good side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To put you on his good side. Matzah, that's not the reason why we eat matzah. There's no mitzvah, there's no ritsui component when you eat matzah. There is no ritsui component when you observe Shabbos. But when you take a lulav, the lulav has a function of ritsui. What aspect of absolute survival hinges on the yontav of Sukkos?
Water.
The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges on Sukkot the allotment of rain that will fall in every region of the world. And we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Livracha v'lo liklala. Because we've been living testimony every year. There's another place in the world where it rains a lot too much. And it's not a big bracha under those circumstances. It's a klala. So the Gemara says that lulav is a mitzvah shel ba liratzot et hamayim. When God sees us taking these arba minim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hopefully will find it pleasing to his eyes, pleasing to his nose, whatever it has to be, in order for him to decide to give appropriate rainfall. And hence the Ritva says, yeah, the Gemara talks about mitzvah haba b'aveira by a lulav. But then all your discussion to apply it to matzah and apply it to sukkah, it's just a waste of your time. Because the mitzvah haba b'aveira principle only applies to a mitzvah that has ritzui as an element of its performance. If it does not have ritzui, then the psul of mitzvah haba b'aveira doesn't apply. So if you steal matzah, you can be mekayim the mitzvah. If you steal money and you want to give it to tzedakah, yeah, no problem. You'll get credit. You'll violate an aveira, but you'll get credit for the mitzvah. Only mitzvot that are ba'im liratzot. And he Ritva only identifies two mitzvot, a korban and lulav. That's it. No, it's a medrash. It's a medrash. Medrash halacha. It's composed the same time as the Mishnah. There are going to be some that will say shofar bala ratzot, and therefore it should be applied to shofar. We're going to see a Rambam about shofar hagazel. We'll see about it in a second, in an hour. But that's another opinion developed by the Ritva. So again, so far we've seen tonight three different principles about mitzvah ba'avera. One, according to Tosfot, the whole thing is only midrabanan. On a Doraita level, doesn't exist. Two, the Ran, where he identifies that in order to go ahead and be exposed to mitzvah ba'avera, the item with which you're performing the mitzvah has to be available to be stolen. It has to be a stolen item. So in both cases which we created to have a mitzvah ba'avera, for some reason, one on Doraisa, one on the Rabbanan, can't be stolen. Ritva adds a different quality. It has to be a mitzvah similar to a korban. What feature does a korban have? That it's liratzot. It tries to gain you points in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to find you pleasing. So lulav has that component. Let's move on. This is another one of the Rishonim. And he says, look in the middle of the page, and he writes, I know. So it happens to be with a nun. I forgot who it is.
Is the second word Nisim?
Yes, Rabbeinu Nisim. No, Nisim only has one nun. Something with two nuns. Don't work on it too hard. Says whoever it is. He says, now, there is one opinion that says a stolen piece of matzah is disqualified from mitzvah haba'avera. But the Gemara doesn't say that that's the reason why a stolen piece of matzah is prohibited. The Gemara says, you know why a stolen piece of matzah is no good? Because I compare matzah to what? To lulav. Why would I ever do something like that? Because of that famous hekesh. Yeah. What famous hekesh? Tesvav, tesvav. You compare the halachot of the 15th of the month of Tishrei to the halachot of the month of Nisan. It's done in so many different halachot. So he's going to ask, the imtaimar habelog zereshava ein yotzin b'matzagzula. Even if there was no comparison of tetvav tetvav, I should still eliminate matzagzula. Why? The heve mitzvah haba b'aveira, the heve psul midoraisa. He doesn't say that mitzvah b'aveira is only a durabanan. He believes mitzvah b'aveira is a din d'oraisa. And as a result, you can't fulfill any mitzvah if it happens to be gzula. K'may shekasav rabbeinu b'perek lulav hagazel. Okay, I know who this is. This is the Korban Nisanel. And he is a commentary on the Rush. If you look in the Gemara, underneath the Rush, there is a commentary called the Korban Nisanel. So he says, why wouldn't we disqualify matzah gzula based on mitzvah ba'avera? What do I need a gzeirah shava to compare matzah to lulav? V'yesh lomar, the sfira l'rabbeinu, the rush, he's commenting on the rush. So whenever he says Rabbeinu, he means the rush. The Sfira Leila Rabbeinu, Kedas Orchas Chaim, who he agrees with this Rishon, who wrote a book called the Orchas Chaim, Shehevi Beit Yosef, Besimin Tafresh Memtes, Mishum Mitzvah Babavera, Eino, Elo Liganav, Uli Gazlan Atzmo, Avola Acherim Kasher. La'acherim kasher.
So if you steal, give it to somebody else, it can be used.
That is correct. Says the Rush, this is the Rabbeinu Nasana, Korban Nasana. Why do I not cite Mitzvah Haba Bavera as the disqualification of stolen matzah? Because it has only limited application. The only two people who cannot fulfill the mitzvah is the Gazlan and the Nigzal. Why would the Nigzal not be able to fulfill the mitzvah with matzah that was stolen? Why? Because he doesn't have it. It's such a profound concept. Because if it was stolen, he doesn't have it. And the Gazlan, of course, can't do it. But if the Gazlan gives the matzah to you or to me, we have no problem. Tell me why we have no problem. Because we didn't steal anything.
If he says it's
That's a good point. Apparently, the Korban Asanel says, even if he says it was stolen, you can be Yotze the Mitzvah. Because you didn't do the Ma'asei Avera. Even though you know it's stolen goods. So, this is another opinion of a Rishon, who we have not seen him before, that the limitation of Mitzvah Ba'Avera is only to the Gazlan and no one else. Once the Gazlan gives it to someone else, under those circumstances, he can fulfill the mitzvah. And according to this Rush, he can fulfill the mitzvah even by lulav, which requires absolute ownership. He happens to be based on the halacha that matzah also requires absolute ownership. You have to own the matzah which you eat Pesach at night. So tell me what problem will arise with that halacha. How do you go to somebody else's house and be Yotze the Mitzvah of Matzah?
The host can say, here.
Good. Did you ever see a host say, here is the matzah, I want you to be kona it?
I think it's implicit.
Good. So the Taz explains, you know why it's implicit? Because you're never going to get this thing back. Therefore, it can't be borrowed. If it's Shaul, you expect the item in return. Well, therefore, this can't be Shaul. Must be that what? It's when he gives it, when the host gives it to you, he's giving it to you permanently. That's good. So now the Rush says, under those circumstances, that's why I don't quote Mitzvah Ba'Avera very widely, because it has a limited application only to the Gazlan. Every other source that we saw up until now never said that. And whoever tries to be Mekayim a mitzvah with a lulav hagazel can't fulfill the mitzvah. Not only if you did the act of theft, anybody in the world is disqualified. But the Rush, that's why I'm showing it to you, cited by the Korban Nesanel, does believe that it has very limited application. Yes?
What if the item stolen is recognizable and valuable, like a piece of jewelry or something, where the guy thinks, I'm going to get it back because it's valuable and it's distinctive looking and the police are going to find it for me. So the guy who owned it initially never gave up hope.
So which opinion are you talking about? Well, who said, so which one are you asking your question on?
I mean, I'm asking in that case, the thief, can the thief really get ownership?
He can't, because you won't be miyayish, that's all.
And therefore, if he gives it to somebody else, he can't pass over ownership.
That's correct. Okay. So it would be, but it wouldn't be because of Mitzvah Ba'Avera. Why would he not fulfill the mitzvah of lulav? Because it's not his. That's correct. Yes?
Is there such a thing as stealing the time? Like, if you kick somebody out of their sukkah,
then you've taken away their ability to use the sukkah at a particular time. And not only that, I mean, you're probably making them angry also.
That is true, but that has nothing to do with mitzvah baba vera. Mitzvah baba vera has very, as you can see, each with their own opinion, has very strict guidelines.
Right.
Very strict guidelines.
But you said all he has to do is hatred at punishment. And I'm saying, but how can he return my ability to perform, you know...
I don't have to provide for your ability to fulfill the mitzvah. All I have to do is return the item. That's all. That's all. Okay, I want to move on. There's more in the packet, but I want to move on to page number 7 for a minute. Which is the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Shofar. And I want you to look at the first line, not on the beginning, towards the end where it says Shofar HaGazul. Shofar HaGazul. If somebody takes a stolen shofar, says the Rambam, Shofar HaGazul Shetaka Bo Yatsa. If you steal a shofar and blow it, you are Yotzei the mitzvah of shofar. She'ein HaMitzvah Ela B'Shmias HaKol. The mitzvah is not to blow the shofar. The mitzvah is to hear the sound of the shofar. Afal pi shelo nogabo, even if you don't touch the shofar itself, you put the shofar down on a table, and the Baal Tokeya brings his lips, and he blows hot air into it. Velo higbio, and he didn't pick it up. Hashomeya yatsa. Why? Ein bikol din gezel. You can't steal sound. So here Rambam employs something that we saw earlier, that the item with which you fulfill the mitzvah has to be able to be stolen. Since the shofar is not the item with which you fulfill the mitzvah, it is the sound of the shofar, because the Rambam believes that the mitzvah is to hear the sound of the shofar, therefore the mitzvah of shofar is exempt from lulav, from mitzvah haba b'aveira.
Do we say the breath of the shmoah?
That's what we do. Now this is a part of a titanic machloket. Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri, and several other Rishonim believe that the definition of the mitzvah is to blow the shofar. And hence, a stolen shofar will be disqualified. This is a core machloket. That according to many Rishonim, the definition of the mitzvah of shofar is to blow the shofar. Therefore, the article with which you fulfill the mitzvah is subject to theft.
That's why you said it was lying down and you bent down because it wasn't picked up.
Because the Rambam says that's not necessary. If the mitzvah of blowing were the shofar, you would have to have the shofar in your hand. And, you know, and that would be, that would make, put it in your possession. But here, according to Rambam, since the mitzvah is to hear the sound of the shofar, mitzvah haba ba'aveira does not apply in relationship to the mitzvah of shofar, and you can fulfill the mitzvah with a stolen shofar. And Rambam himself says, I will prove to you that I am right. Prove it. If the mitzvah were to be defined as blowing the shofar, tell me how would you and I have to fulfill the mitzvah? Everyone have to blow themselves. Because you can't get anyone else to perform a mitzvah which requires bodily involvement. I can't ask anyone else to put on tefillin for me. I can't. I can't ask anybody to eat matzah for me. Because any mitzvah which you have to do with your own body, you can't designate an agent to help you. So therefore Rambam says, just look around in every shul in your neighborhood. in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. Is everybody blowing shofar? No. There's only one guy blowing shofar, and 1,000 people can hear the Baal Tokeya. Must be that the mitzvah is defined as hearing the sound of the shofar. So Rambam here claims that shofar is a mitzvah for which mitzvah bar aveira has no impact whatsoever. All of the mitzvot, he says, yes, you can. He knows the issue about a stolen sukkah. He knows that issue also. But any other mitzvah, it's no problem. Why? On account of the fact that the mitzvah is not the item which you stole. The mitzvah is the sound produced, and nobody in the history of mankind has succeeded in stealing sound.
But what about sitting in the sukkah? It's also sitting in the sukkah.
Yeah.
You have to sit in the sukkah. You don't have to build a sukkah.
Correct. So the mitzvah requires... You can't get somebody to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah for you. You can't ask me, can you please sit in the sukkah for me? It's worthless. Right. Because it's a mitzvah that has to be done bodily. It's called a mitzvah shiva guf. Good. Now, we will close with the Ravid's disagreement of the Rambam. At the end of the Halacha Gimel, at the end you see it's printed, Hasagat HaRa'avad. The Ravid is the one who argues with the Rambam thousands of times in the Rambam's work. Thousands of times. Sometimes very viciously. The Ravid will write that the opinion of the Rambam is not worth the paper it's written on. Or he wrote sometimes, the Rambam is Svarat Ne'arim. It's the logic of a child thinks that way. Ravid was very takif, a real strong attacker of the Rambam. Many just say he was jealous of the Rambam's popularity. Others say he did it lishma, whatever it is. Says the Ravid, V'ein b'kol din gezel. Aleph Aleph means Omar Avraham. His name was Rab Avraham ben David, Ra'avad. Omar Avraham. V'afilu yehei bo din gezel. Even if you were to theoretically be able to steal sound, mitzvah haba b'aveira is not going to be a problem either. Why? Yom tu'ah yelachem mikol makom. It says yom tu'ah yelachem. What does that mean?
It means it belongs to everybody.
So what is the answer? How does that mean? So the Ravid means as follows. The only time that mitzvah haba b'aveira applies is if you require ba'alut. If a mitzvah requires ownership, then I'll apply the law of mitzvah haba b'aveira. Namely, you have to own something, and if you steal, the ownership is not legitimate. Therefore, I will disqualify it. But does the word lachem, as it's written by shofar, does that mean that you have to have ownership of a shofar? You don't have to own your shofar. So if you can interpret the word lachem or lecha by any given mitzvah, that it means, you know what? Just any old item, you can fulfill the mitzvah. It doesn't necessarily have to be yours. Under those circumstances, mitzvah haba b'aveira is not a problem. If you require absolute ownership, so mitzvah haba b'aveira says, if you're going to get ownership through an aveira, we're not going to recognize it. But if a mitzvah does not require ownership, who cares how you got it? Because the ownership is not critical. So that's what he says. It says, yom t'ruy elachem kama mikol makom. Meaning, any way that you get it, it doesn't have to be yours. And it's a good question. Why, in certain cases, did the Torah Shebaal Peh interpret the word lachem as it must be yours, like by lulav? And why, by shofar, did the Torah not interpret that phrase in the exact same way? We have no idea why. But everyone agrees that a shofar doesn't have to belong to you.
Because it is the
That's possible. That is possible. But the Ravid would say, even if you can conceptually steal sound, I still would allow a stolen sukkah, a stolen shofar, because you don't have to own it. If you don't have to own it, there's no limitations against your ownership be'aveira. So the Ravid shita is that the only time we apply mitzvah habah be'aveira is if the mitzvah requires absolute ownership. So if I steal your tefillin, does tefillin have to be yours? No. If I steal your talis, though, what would happen? I can't be mekayim the mitzvah. Because in order for me to be obligated for the mitzvah of tzitzis, you have to own the garment. A borrowed garment does not have to have four fringes put on it. If I borrow a four-cornered garment from you, I don't have an obligation of tzitzis. So if I were to borrow someone else's talis, you don't make a bracha on it. You can put it on.
Yes, wine should be on talis and borrow.
Because a shul talis belongs to everybody. At least to all members. Belongs to all the members. But a private, someone else's private talis, that doesn't belong to me. So
you loan it?
No. You can lend it, but you're still not chayav in the midst of tzitzis.
So that's why slichot mourning.
That's correct. That's why slichot mourning, in order to avoid the issue of where there's a machloikis whether tzitzis applies at night or not. Some say if you wear a daytime garment at night, you're obligated to wear tzitzis. A four-cornered garment, normally worn during the day, if it's worn at night, is obligated in tzitzis. The only time at night is an exemption is if you wear pajamas. Pajamas are not big day yom. Who wears pajamas during the day? Don't go to work wearing pajamas. So that four-cornered PJs don't have to have tzitzis on it. So, but a garment which is worn during the day, at night, is chayav and tzitzis. So in order to avoid that debate, some say it's not. So how do you avoid it for the chazan who is putting on a talis for the first night of slichot? He borrows someone else's talis. So when he borrows someone else's talis, that's certainly not chayav and tzitzis. That's why we do that. So we saw quite a bit tonight. We have a couple of other comments which we will try to cover next week and expand at least another week about the topic of mitzvah habah b'aveira. It's a very good question. It could theoretically be there were many, many communities in Europe where nobody could afford a lulav. So if the shul buys it, which they do, they make a condition. Anybody who needs a lulav and esrog can pick this one up. It's being given by the shul for you. Absolute ownership. Now what do you have to do? You give it to the next guy. And you bequeath it to him. Then you bequeath it to him. And that's it. That's why you can use that one in the back. Yes.
I would just...